Appreciated the devotional thoughts this morning. Reminded me first of where I was going, but we'll save that for another time. I was going to bring a message on the Great Commission, but maybe be challenged to be a light to the world wherever we are and let our light shine. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, where the Lord is giving the message to the churches, he says this, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in the throne." And I'm sure that if I would ask you this morning that who wants to be an overcomer, we'd all raise our hand, because that's the only way you're going to get to heaven. This morning I'd look to look at seven steps for overcoming sin and temptation. Some practical steps in helping each of us to be overcomers. That at the end of life we can hear the welcome words, to be welcomed into eternity, to be welcomed into to heaven with our Lord. But we live in a world of sin, a world that tends to pull you down with temptations. There's that song in Zion's Praises that talks about yield not to temptation. Each victory will help you some other to win. And I thought of that many times in my growing up years as I faced temptations as a youth. I thought of that song would come to my mind. You know, it's the opposite too as we start the downward course. Each failure will lead you further down. In John 15, verse 5, the Gospel of John, we're going to refer to that a few times. John chapter 15. I'm going to read the first five verses. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye accept, ye abide in me." That's the connection, dear ones, this morning, if we're going to have victory in our life. Where are you in your walk with God this morning? And I believe the first step that we come to is the desire. Number one, the desire to overcome. Do you desire to be victorious in your walk with the Lord? In overcoming and saying no to Satan, no to sin. We heard about faith in the devotions. Where are you in your walk with God? Where are you in your daily devotions? It's absolutely necessary if you're going to walk with God to have your word, to have your roots deep into the Word of God, and have your devotions every day that you can. Every step needs to be accomplished through faith and abiding in Christ. For he says, "He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." A desire to overcome. If we have little desire to stop sinning, then it will never happen. But if you have a desire to stop sinning, the power of Jesus Christ is there. The Lord is there, ready to help us when we have that desire to stop sinning. In the work of overcoming sinful habits, God's grace is sufficient. He has given to all that sincerely desire it. It's a simple matter of overcoming sinful habits and practices. But we cannot do it on our own. We cannot do it in our own strength. We must have that desire. And the Lord is ready to help us if we truly desire to be overcomers. It's the only way we're going to get to heaven. Second one is, we must be people of prayer. If we're going to be overcomers, we must pray. And I believe that this is the most basic but most needed step in overcoming any sin and temptation. Are you praying for the help of God? Are you praying before you have your devotions? God, show me something today. What do you have me to see in this devotional this morning? And allow God to speak to you as you meditate on it. And as you listen to those quiet moments, listen to God. And believe that the Lord will answer your prayers. And there's another practical and very important step to take with prayer. When you are tempted, get on your knees and pray till God is through. Till God comes through, pray when you're facing the temptations. Stay on your knees as long as you need to. The Apostle Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, you can pray wherever you are. You can pray while you're driving down the highway. And I know you heard me say that before. Many of us fail because we haven't spent enough time with God. When have you brushed aside your devotions because you're in a hurry in the morning and you have to get going? When? Now I know as you get older, sometimes you have a little more time for your devotions. In the middle of family racing, sometimes it can get a little bit the way it is. But you better take time for it somewhere, sometime. Get into a habit. Get into that habit of spending much time in prayer. And as I said above, when you are tempted, cry out to God. He'll be there to lift you up. Yes, He will. And He said to Jacob, He said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And Jacob said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." He said unto him, "What is thy name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel." As you find in Genesis 32, Jacob did not let go of God until he heard God speak. So God blessed him. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth for 3.5 years. Is that what our prayer life is like this morning? Do you want victory? Do you want to be an overcomer for God? It's the only way we'll enter heaven. Number 3. Is to train the will to align with God's will. Is your will aligning with God's will? God's will might say something different than what our will says. It's like exercising the body. If we don't exercise, we become weak and unfit. Same applies to our will. When we don't exercise it, the power of our own will becomes weak to do what we should do. To do what is right. To do what pleases God. May our will become stronger. May our will line up with God's will for our life. And we'll find that we become stronger and stronger. And we will begin to find that by God's grace, we can resist those temptations. We can flee those temptations through the right exercise of the will. An entire change may be made in our lives by yielding your will to Christ. Aligning your will with Christ, you will have strength from above to hold you steadfast through those trying moments of life. In Daniel 1:8, it says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You have Joseph who literally fled while Potiphar's wife held his jacket and see, look what he tried to do to me. But we see what Daniel did. He had a purpose of heart. And brothers and sisters, it may have to be that we may have to flee, literally flee sometimes. May God help us to do that. But he purposed in his heart. He made the right choice. Through that right choice, God blessed him and helped him increase in faith. Knowledge and wisdom, Daniel 1:17. God will do that for you and I as well. The necessity for the men of this generation to call to their aid the power of the will that lines with God's will, strengthened by the grace of God in order to withstand the temptations of Satan. And they are many today. I believe that God gives us the power of choice. And dear ones, this morning, that's why it's so important to put our roots deep into the Word of God. So that when we face these temptations today, that we don't yield. The necessity for you and I of this generation to call on God for help. Start saying no to Satan and cooperating with God and aligning our will with His. Number 4 is that we must focus our minds on Christ. If we're going to be victorious, if we're going to be overcomers, we must focus our mind on Christ. And I believe that this has been the most powerful tool I can say for myself in committing, in overcoming sin. I remember in high school, that song I mentioned, "Yield Not to Temptation," came to me many times as I faced a lot of temptations in public high school. The temptations that were there for young people, the activities that were there, it helps that to fade those things away. And we fill our minds with Christ. Going to help keep our minds full and not leave an empty mind there for the things that come along the way. As we read in John 15:5, if we do not abide in Him, we will be none of His. Only overcomers will be in heaven. This is attained by having Bible study, prayer. Our thoughts and actions will line up with who we really are. Our worldly desires will start to fade away. It is a miracle that Christ performs in us through the power of His Holy Spirit. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Second Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Christ is the master we must have if we're going to be overcomers. Abiding in our hearts by a living faith that is real. I believe we need to seek to know Him more of Him day after day, dwelling with Him so that someday we can dwell with Him throughout all eternity. When we fully submit to Jesus Christ this morning, we submit our will to His. Our will is merged with His will. Our minds become one with His mind. I believe this Philippians talks about the mind of Christ. It needs to be our mind. 2 Corinthians 10:5 speaks of that. And I believe that, as Galatians 2:20, let us fix our eyes and our minds upon the Lord every day. It's the only way that we're going to bear the fruit of the Spirit that Scripture talks about in Galatians. Number 5. We need to remove the temptation. Sin is a very serious issue because it's going to keep you out of heaven. And we should be willing to do all that we can to remove sin from our lives. Jesus said in Matthew 5:30 that if your right hand offends you, cut it off. Cut it from thee. This is how serious sin is. Now, Jesus isn't expecting us to literally cut our hand off, but we need to remove sin. We need to remove sin. We don't keep going to the bar if we have trouble with strong drink. Maybe even have to take another route around the bar if that's where our habit was. But what about some more things that come a little closer home to us? Remove that temptation. What about the sins of immorality? What about the internet? If that's a problem to you, if it's going to keep you out of heaven, get rid of it. You see, I can't stay in business without it. Would you rather get to heaven or would you rather stay in business? I know that's saying it pretty strongly, but we need to remove the temptations that are there. Maybe it's a certain place you go and stay away from there that causes you to be tempted. Stay away from there. Do certain people tempt you when you're around them? What about your associates? Do they pull you down or do they lift you up? Just think about that question. Stop spending time with them if they pull you down. I trust that if you're with a group of men who may not have a problem throwing out some shady jokes, I trust you don't even smile. Don't even laugh with the group. It's going to stand out. They'll notice you're not laughing. Make active steps. Be active about it in removing temptations from your daily life. Yes, there's a lot of temptations out there, but do what you can. In the sixth place, we must stay active. Many of us fall into temptation and sin because we're too idle. Idleness is the devil's workshop. Does the Bible say that? No, it doesn't, but it is. The Bible doesn't say that, but it is. When we're idle, we get into things we shouldn't get into. Our young people today have access to things that we never had such easy access to. And that's that small little flat thing we carry in our pockets. So we are idle that we fall into diverse temptations. So the key is this, to stay active for the Lord. Nothing stops you from going out and talking to your neighbors and speaking to them about the Lord or the people you meet through the day. We don't have to run to another church so that we can get really riled up in evangelism. You can do it right here. Stay active for the Lord. We need to stay active in the Lord and His work. There is much for us to do in these closing scenes of Earth's history. We must study like never before. We must seek first the kingdom of God. We must seek to save the lost through sacrifice and labor for the Lord. It seems there's much work to be done for the kingdom, but there are also innocent activities that we can be employed in to keep us busy. There are activities that, as families, we're involved in that are good, and we ought to value that time in working with our children. Going on nature hikes, gardening, growing our own food, etc. The list could go on. Parents, I realize you can probably buy food cheaper than you can raise it, but there's lessons learned for a family in the garden that if you value that time, it'll be benefit to your home in later life. The Lord will guide us, and He'll show us what to do. The Lord has given us all the talents to use for His kingdom. In Matthew 25, I'm going to turn to that, verses 14 to 30. If we have time, we'll read those verses. Matthew 25, 14 to 30. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. He called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. I'm going to skip over a few verses here. But he returns, and after a long time, in verse 19, after a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought 5 talents, other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And it goes on to speak about the one that received 2 talents and the one that received 1 and hid it in the earth. And we know the outcome of the story. He cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. God is going to judge us. We will come before Him on how we have used our time for Him, how we have used our talents for Him. There isn't any one person here this morning that doesn't have a talent. I don't care whether you think you do or not. But so let us use those talents and our time active for the Lord. God didn't make us all equally the same. But let's do what we can for the Lord. The one who received 1, he went and hid it. Speaks of idleness. We will be judged for that. Point number 7 is, if we're going to be victorious over temptations and sin, we need to share our burdens with the brethren. God's people with the brethren at church. He says, so the Apostle James says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There is much help that we can receive by sharing our burdens and seeking prayers of our brethren. But let's remember, these things are not shared so they can be pieces of gossip to spread across the church. but to help one another. There is one reason why the Lord brings his people together, so that we can help one another. There is no shame in seeking the help of each other throughout life. And I trust this morning that we can have that kind of openness with each other. We're all in need of help as we go through life. But most importantly, seek the help of our brother, Jesus Christ. Our earthly brethren can help to a certain degree, but Jesus is there, can help us go through. And I pray that taking these steps will help you overcome your sin. Whatever you're facing, your temptations that you're facing throughout the day. If you're facing temptations through the day and you feel you need encouragement from another brother, pick up your phone. We have means of communication today that is tremendous. And let's help each other. Let's pray together. God is asking us. He's reaching out to us. And he's seeking help. He's seeking to help us. Are we open to that help? May God bless each of you this morning as we continue to try to live above sin, above the temptations of life, that we would be found victorious and hear those faithful words when we come to the end of life. After prayer, I'm going to ask